أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، الحمد لله، we praise Allah, we seek His assistance, we seek His forgiveness, we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. However is led astray, then there is no God for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the slave and his messenger. Amma ba'du. They said in Ramadan that we wanted to start maybe a series of small talks on the topic of manhood. And we'll be using our book, Al-Muru'atu wa Khawarimuha, by Abu Ubaidah Mashhur Hassan Ali Salman. And this is manhood and what negates somebody's manhood, for lack of better words, by Abu Ubaidah Mashhur Hassan Salman. And this author of this book is living now. I had the chance to meet him, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, when I was in Al-Medina, and he lives in Jordan. And he has a long introduction to the book about what the ulama say about manhood and the different books and what have you. And we might take that at another time, inshallah. Right now, we just wanted to look at one point first, and this is the issue. As most of the book is those things that negate somebody's manhood, or something that criticizes somebody's manhood, or if a person had real manhood, he wouldn't be doing these things. Amongst those things, some of the people mentioned is making salat in jama'ah. That you're not a real man if you make salat in jama'ah. If you make salat in jama'ah, then you're not a real man. We'll explain, inshallah. But it's if you make salat in jama'ah, then you're not considered to be a real man. And Imam al-Shafi'i, he says that Hajjaj ibn Arta says, لا تتم مروءة الرجل حتى يترك الصلاة في الجماعة. He says that a person's manhood won't be complete until he stops making salat in jama'ah. And this has been collected in the books of Manaqib al-Shafi'i and the Mizan by Imam al-Zahabi. And Imam al-Zahabi, after he quotes this statement of Hajjaj ibn Arta, he says, may Allah curse this type of manhood. And then he mentions the same statement of Hajjaj ibn Arta in his book Asira Alam al-Nubala. And after it's mentioned, he says, well, I have to say, may Allah curse this type of manhood. And this is nothing but stupidity and arrogance. So that the people are doing things so that nobody else has to get close to them. And likewise, you find the leaders and the scholars, they make salat in jama'ah, not in the ranks. Or they have a special big rug laid out for them so that they don't have to touch any Muslims. And then he says, فَإِنَّا لِلَّهِ. And he stops. And I guess he means, فَإِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Here Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, he shows that those people who think that this is a part of somebody's manhood, that this is only ignorance and arrogance to think that this is a part of the manhood. And really we see it today, and I know I've seen it from the leaders. They come in the masjid, and when the entourage comes in, they break everybody up, push everybody back, then they just leave the front for him, a couple of his boys, they can make salat, and then everybody else is back there. They have a big special rug so nobody lines up with them, and then they're right there. Or as some of them do, and we'll see in some of the examples, some of them who appear to be wealthy or famous, and you might not know that they're among the wealthy and famous. When they come in, they won't line up to you. You say foot to foot, shoulder to shoulder, they won't line up to you because they feel that this is going to damage their manhood to line up so close to someone so poor or someone not on their level. So what they do is they stand by themselves and say, nah, get over there like that. And they get over there like that, and they make a lot by themselves. Or sometimes they just come in, just be right in the back by themselves, in a row by themselves. And the Prophet ﷺ had prohibited that somebody is in the back by himself. And this was a thing of arrogance. And sometimes because we never saw it, we don't see what's really taking place. He's so big that when he comes in, he lets everybody line up. Then he get back there. And he's in the Jama'ah because he's following along, but he's not lining up because he's too good to get next to the next person. Imam al-Bayhaqi, rahimullah, he says at the end of this, that Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimullah, when he mentioned this statement, that a man, that Hajjaj ibn Arta says that a man's manhood isn't complete until he leaves off the Salah in Jama'ah, said that Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, he was mentioning it as a criticism. Not that somebody should take this seriously as thinking that a part of his manhood is leaving off the Salah. And then the Shaykh Saleh al-Maqbali in his Kitab al-Ilm al-Shamikh, he says, we come down to this part, and take a look at what some of the ulama of hadith say. He says that your manhood is not complete until you leave off the salah in jama'ah. So he said, you're going to leave off the masjid? And he says, no, we come to the masjid so long as the ordinary people, the farmers and them, they don't make us too crowded in the ranks. Or I come to the masjid until I feel that they make us too crowded in the ranks. And then the man, he sat at the back of the masjid. So it said to him, why don't you come up and get in the middle of the masjid? He said, I'm the middle wherever I'm at. He said, and this is the one who's narrating, said, this is an example, and there's so many examples like this. And we just wanted to mention it as one of the evils of being in charge or of leadership. The Shaykh, Mashhur, he asked a benefit of making the Salah in Jama'ah as he brings the Sanad of Abu Layth al-Tartusi, that he was being very patient, just waiting in the masjid. So they asked him, what's wrong with you? He said, I missed Salah in the Jama'ah. Meaning he was just in the masjid in between the Salah. Somebody happened to see him, what you doing waiting? Salah ain't till whatever time. He said, nah, I missed Salah in Jama'ah, and he wanted to stay in the masjid to make sure that he didn't miss another Salah in Jama'ah, or the next Salah in Jama'ah. And then the next example of Nu'aym ibn Muhammad, he narrates that Imam ibn Ismail came to the masjid and found that the people had already made the salat and he missed the jama'ah. So he made it upon himself not to leave the masjid until he died, or until he meets Allah. So he made the masjid his house until he died. And he's just bringing these examples, which are, in our case, extreme examples, just to show how people felt about the importance of making salat in the jama'ah and obeying Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about making the salat in jama'ah. The Shaykh, he ends off this section by saying, there's another story, if you look at Sirah Alam al-Nubala, volume 11, page 443 to 444, and you should take a look at that. So we bought the book, inshallah, to take a look at this other story about making the salat in the jama'ah. Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah, he brings his chain down to, he says, I heard Ubaidullah al-Qawariri say, I almost never miss Salatul Isha in the Jama'ah. So I had some guests come visit me and they made me busy. So when I went out to catch the Salat in Jama'ah in one of the masjids of the Qabail al-Basra, I found that the people had already made Salat. So I said to myself that it's been narrated on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to bring the meaning of these hadith as ulama Shu'ayb al-Arnaut, as he came behind Imam al-Zahabi correcting of his book. Some of the people, if they narrated the hadith without its exact wording, then the imams that came afterwards corrected them by putting the exact wording of the hadith. So we'll just bring that inshallah ta'ala. He missed the Salah in Jama'ah and he said to himself that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salah in Jama'ah is better than the Salah of one person by, and he said 21 times. And the people said they didn't find this narration of 21 times. But they found the next two narrations of which he said, and it's been narrated that it's 25 times better. And then another narration, 27 times better in the Jama'ah than making it by yourself. So he said, I went back to my house and I made Salatul Isha 27 times. Then I went to sleep and I had a dream that I was riding on a horse. And I was with, well, there was a group of people riding on horses and I was on my horse too. And then we began racing. So the people were a little ahead of me, so I started beating my horse real fast in order to catch up to the people. But as I was trying to do this, the last one of them said, you can work as hard as you want, but you can't keep up with us. And you'll never catch up with us. So he said, why? Remember, he's in a dream and he's racing. Why? He said, because you didn't make Salatul Isha and Jama'ah like we did. And this is a nice story, and it's all just to show the point of encouragement for making the Salat in Jama'ah. And that this is compulsory to make the Salat in Jama'ah. And some of the people, they question, how is it going to be compulsory when it's only better? As the Prophet ﷺ said, it's 27 times the reward of making Salat by yourself. That only shows that that thing is better than that thing, not that that thing is compulsory. There's many things in Islam that are compulsory and also at the same time better than doing something else. Meaning that it's compulsory to do it that way and better to do it that way, but if you did it another way, it wouldn't be as good, but it'll be accepted. I remember the Shaykh Muhammad Nasir Din al-Albani giving the example, as he said, if someone made Salat with a gold ring on, if a man made Salat with a gold ring on, is his Salat accepted? His Salat is correct, but you say what he's doing is not the best thing because he has a gold ring on. So he's sinning on one hand, not doing what's best, and on the other hand, his thing is correct in making the Salat. And the Shaykh was just bringing this example to try to bring it closer to us to show how somebody can be correct on one hand, but wrong too on the other hand. And this is the case of somebody, a man making Salat in his house by himself, instead of coming to the masjid to make the Jama'ah, if there's no excuse, that on one hand his Salat is accepted, and on the other hand he's wrong and a sinner for leaving off the Jama'ah. And we can see, just like in that example, that he's a sinner for having a gold ring on, and his Salat is correct. It's the same thing if he makes Salat in his house by himself. His Salat is correct, inshallah, but he's a sinner for leaving off the Jama'ah. And I just quoted one of the ulama, Abdullah ibn Saleh al-Fawzan, who had a book, Verdict Pertaining to the Masjid, where he says that the Jama'ah in accordance to the Zeen of al-Islam, in the is the jama'ah in the masjid. And the jama'ah in the house, or in other than the house, is not the jama'ah. And the reward for the jama'ah is the jama'ah in the masjid. And whoever makes salah in his house with his family, or in other than the masjid, and he believes that this is the jama'ah, that he gets all of this reward of 27 times better, then his aqidah is far from being correct. So here he makes it clear, and at one time I had wanted to quote all of the ulama around this issue of showing that the jama'ah is in the masjid. As we remember, in the days before Masjid Dirar was Masjid Dirar, when it was called Baytul Mal, the people were establishing salat there. And I remember I asked the brother who was leading them in the salat, Sheikh, where in the world did you find it's okay for yourself to lead the brothers in jama'ah on a regular basis outside of the masjid? He said, we found the people everywhere doing this. You know, like they used to do in Medina. Is what the people do in Medina proof of this deen of al-Islam, or what we find in the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the way of our Salaf al-Salih? And there are too many examples of the actions of the Salaf al-Salih from the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and those after them, as the cases that we met of making the Salah in Jama'ah in the masjid. So much so that the man took the masjid as his house until he died. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. For those people who still have a little doubt that the jama'ah is in the masjid and not in any other place, you can take a look at this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, collected by Imam al-Bukhari. We'll just bring the translation inshallah. The salat of a man in the jama'ah is 25 times better than the salat of a man in his house or in the marketplace. And that is because if he makes a wudu, and makes a good wudu, and then he goes out to the masjid, nothing takes him to the salat, nothing takes him out of his house except to go to the masjid, to make the salat. There's not a step that he takes except that he will be raised a degree. And there's not another step that he takes except the sin will be removed from him. And when he makes salah, the angels will continue to make dua for him, so long as he is in the area that he made the salah in, saying, O Allah, forgive him. O Allah, show mercy on him. And a person is always in salat so long as he's at the place where he makes the salat. At any rate, in this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentions salat in jama'ah, and then he shows the issue of the house and the marketplace for his example, and then he says, and that is because whoever goes out to the masjid by making a wudu and perfecting the wudu and whatever. And here, as the ulama explained, that the Prophet ﷺ himself is the one that narrates and then goes out to the masjid, showing that the masjid is the place for that jama'ah that's going to get the reward of 27 times itself. And this is the real jama'ah, the jama'ah that's in the masjid. And then Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimullah, he says that whoever really contemplates the sunnah, really looking at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will be clear to him that the salat in the masjid are compulsory on every individual, so long as he doesn't have an excuse that will prevent him from making the Jumu'ah or the Jama'ah. And leaving off Salat in the Masjid, without an excuse is like leaving off the Jama'ah without an excuse. And all of the hadith and the athar of the Salaf all show this point. And he goes on to say that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, and the news came to to the people of Mecca of the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Suhail ibn Amr gave a khutbah, and Itab ibn Usayd was the one in charge of Mecca, and they were having some fear of confusion or whatever in Mecca. So Suhail, he came out and explained, and the people became strong on their Islam, or some of them. So then he gave a khutbah after that, and he said, O people of Mecca, I swear by Allah that the news better not come to me of any one of you not making the salat in the masjid in jama'ah, except that I'll cut his head off. And the sahaba of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thanked him for his action. And this only increased them in their worship. And then Ibn Qayyim, he adds himself, this is what we worship Allah upon, that it is not permissible for anyone to leave off the jama'ah in the masjid except with an excuse, and Allah knows best what is correct. So we see here in one of these examples from our Salaf al-Saleh, in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that after his death and people are a little wary as to what to do, he stood up and made it very clear that whoever leaves off this salah in jama'ah in the masjid, I'll kill him. And this is when he was the leader of the Muslims in Mecca at the time, and he was going to, in his opinion, fulfill his responsibility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making it very clear to the Muslims that it's compulsory to make the salah in jama'ah in the masjid, and that the jama'ah in the masjid, this is the real jama'ah. And in light of this, I wanted to mention something to all of the people, and I hope that the news gets back to the brother, inshallah, as I felt that there was no other way to deal with this issue. Our brother Dawood Adib, who lives very close to us here in East Orange, he's been spreading the word around that there's something personal between me and him. And I'm asking the brothers that whoever sees him, why don't they tell him to come to the masjid, and that if there's something personal, then we can have that thing worked out. Because the last time he was going around spreading the issue, and these are only some of the issues that I've heard in New Jersey and outside of New Jersey, that he's been saying that I'm going to boycott him, and I'm going to have the masjid boycott him, and that I have set a policy that he can't speak in the masjid, and some other stuff that they were saying. Wallahi walhamdulillah, the policies of us at this masjid have been public, walhamdulillah. If anything's been important to our community and we want to establish a policy that we're upon, we come right to the microphone, inshallah, and tell the people this is what we feel to be our policy here. And if we're correct, alhamdulillah. And if we're wrong, we ask Allah to guide us to that which is most correct. But really, I'm a little tired of the people keep hinting as if I have something personal against the brother, when many of the people are here. When I became the imam after Dawood, the people remember I came out publicly and I said that this masjid is the masjid of Ahlus Sunnah, and the people of knowledge have the freedom to come in our masjid and to teach whatever they like, whenever they like. And I mentioned some of the brothers, and he was amongst the ones that I mentioned in the beginning. I said that I had called Sheikh Ahmed Salem when I became the imam. I told him, Sheikh, you never have to worry about the administration of the masjid preventing you from teaching Islam. This masjid is wide open. Come teach the Muslims Islam any day you want to, any time of the day you want to. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to make my schedule until you decide what you want, Sheikh. I called Sheikh Khidr up, told him the same thing. Abu Samah was here, told him the same thing. Dawood Adib was here, told him the same thing. This masjid is the masjid, alhamdulillah, and the administration is in support of learning this deen, of the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, and this masjid has always been open to the people. And if the people didn't accept the invitation, then they can't make us guilty because we made it public, and we're making it public again, that we didn't have any problem with anybody of knowledge teaching in this masjid. And this was the position before, and this is the position now, and I don't know why the people keep making it as if there's something personal against me and the brother. I tried to talk to the brother in private on a few times, and I thought that the issue was solved and resolved, but I see that it keeps going around to the people, and the people are even looking at us like, why you prevent the brother from making salah in the jama'ah? Wallahi, the brothers remember before, I have a book by Abu Abdurrahman Mahmoud al-Jazairi on it's compulsory to make salat in jama'ah. And we summarized that book before here, and we showed that he brings about 8 reasons or 8 excuses that are legitimate in light of the Quran and the Sunnah that would allow a person to miss the jama'ah and have no sin against them. Those excuses, if someone has those excuses, then he's free from coming to the jama'ah. But we didn't prevent Dawood Adib or somebody else from coming to this masjid, except that he was causing a fitna in the masjid, and we may have said to him, listen, we're going to keep you out the masjid so long as you keep doing what you're doing. As we don't want people coming into the masjid, like one of the brothers we were trying to deal with yesterday morning, he has come to the masjid hollering, shouting, arguing, talking to everybody. Yeah, the brothers is against me. Everybody is against me. Nobody don't like me. Why everybody keep running around the masjid doing that? That's the case. We tell the brother, listen, take that stuff someplace else if you want to do that. You want to come and worship Allah? All right, you can come to this masjid. Or in the case when we threw out one of the brothers who was from the Rafidah. He says he believes that our Quran is not complete. He believes that the Prophet ﷺ wasn't the real prophet, but Ali was, and Jibril made a mistake. Alright, he's in the masjid, he don't do Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. He goes like this instead. And he used to be in the back of the masjid with that craziness until we told him, listen, if you want to practice Islam and be a Muslim, you can. But all that stuff you're doing, you're going to take that stuff someplace else. Only in these extreme cases will somebody be thrown out the masjid, but we've never said anything about kicking somebody out the masjid, as many of the people of Masjid Dirar, and they're saying up until today, as one of the young boys over there at Masjid Dirar, he said, I'm trying to kill him. Yet Abu Muslim are crazy, he's out to kill me. Yeah, subhanAllah al-Azim. The other brothers, they tricked one of the ladies, as we mentioned before, one of the brothers who used to attend here. When he died, rahimahullah, the people from the Masjid Dirar went to his wife and they told her, listen, we your husband's friends. And we know he attended the Islamic Center of East Orange, but if they perform the janazah, they won't let us into the masjid. Wallahi, this is the biggest lie after Shaitan's lie of worship him instead of Allah. Where did the people get that we prevent the people from coming to the masjid? Except that the people drown in their own sins, and they don't want to come to the masjid because they're going to be exposed of the sins that they're on. And we know this was the case, as we mentioned before, that many of the people involved in establishing that masjid don't know anything about establishing salah and jama'ah. And if they come to this masjid where many of the people, alhamdulillah, are establishing the salah and jama'ah, it's going to be very clear that brother so-and-so, no, I never see him in the masjid. Brother so-and-so, I never see him in the masjid. And the people are going to look at him like they never see him in the masjid. Meaning he's not going to be looked at or at a high light when he doesn't come to the masjid as it used to be in the old days. And I mentioned to some of the brothers when I came, some of the people had even suggested to me, nah, you the sheikh. You gotta live like out there so that the people don't bother you with too many questions and stuff like that. You know, you gotta be ready like you're coming in on some flying carpet or something to bring the heavy message, and you don't need to live too close to the masjid. As this was the old understanding, this understanding of Islam that's correct is that it's compulsory for the men to make the salah in the masjid. And Dawood Ajib, if any of the brothers keep hearing this news, why don't they tell him to come to the masjid? He lives real close. Tell him to come to the masjid and then to address if there's something. And we know that this masjid is open. If anybody has anything against what we're doing here, he can raise his hand any day on the musalla after any of the salah and say, I have a concern, such and such, and we address it to the best of our ability. Now we're going to say, take that brother outside and pistol whip him or something because he's talking against our policies here. We don't have any problem that somebody talks against something here. In light that what's wrong here is corrected, inshallah ta'ala. And I hope that the people don't feel that this is something I have personal against him. Because if the people do, then we'll say this, inshallah, as one thing, to say that I have so many things, inshallah, as I said, wallah, I hate to mention somebody's name over the microphone, except that it comes to that level. One of the people that Dawood Ajib was scheduled to speak at, they found news of some of the things he was doing, and they told him, wallah, you can't come speak to us with us anymore because of what you was doing. Clear that thing up first, and then the lecture is on. And he never cleared that thing up until today, and they canceled him on that lecture. It was canceled and he didn't give it. Why don't the people go to him and say, to those brothers, and say it's something personal? And the examples can go on and on and on where the people won't let him speak because of some of the things he did, and nobody has anything to say that there's something personal. I could have easily come here and say that he can't speak in this masjid. And you don't think that if there was somebody deviant and he wanted to speak in this masjid, that I wouldn't have the courage to say to us and to him, you can't speak in our masjid? If somebody was going to come and teach some foolishness, y'all think I'm going to say, okay, come and teach the people whatever you want to? I want to tell him, no, you can't speak. And that would have been the same case with him. If that's what we wanted to make as our policy, we could have told him, come speak. But everybody's a witness here that at the end of him being the imam, he made it very clear that this was his masjid and this was his place. And everybody was aware that I made the invitation open to him, and he hasn't given one talk in this masjid since then, except for the one talk that he did reluctantly that evening, that my wife was delayed at the supermarket and I had to miss the class to go pick her up. And he filled in on that class on Hajj. For that, I don't know how short that was, on that evening, and that was it. He never gave one talk in the masjid or one khutbah in the masjid. And I can say this now, and if he comes, if the brothers ever bring him, as this was all mentioned to him before, face to face, that when I told him, why haven't you spoken in the masjid and why don't you accept invitations to give the khutbah and stuff, he said, the people think I'm so bad, all right, why do they want me to speak now? And when the issue was, when I was chosen the imam, nobody said that I was chosen the imam because he was so bad or whatever. It had took place, it was public news and it was recorded in the community meeting that his contract was up and it wasn't renewed. And nothing was said about how he did when he was the imam. It was just the issue was the contract wasn't renewed. And he said he had no hard feelings in the khutbah on this minbar. And it was taped, if the people forget. And I'm sad that I have to remind some of the people, as they was right here when everything was taking place, just like I was. You heard him get on the minbar and said, I hear some people sad that I'm not going to be the imam anymore. If you sad, then it's obviously that you only into me. And if you are, then that's your problem, or something like that, I don't know his exact wording. And if you love this deen, then this deen the truth, or something to that effect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best to his words. And he was saying that all of the people came to East Orange for me, you might as well go back home. And if you came for this deen, then the deen is here. And some of the people went back home. Now, and some of the people, they went back home. But this issue is public, and all of the statements were said, and people have been having a problem since the community meeting at the last month of Daoud being the imam, upon which he never showed up for any of those community meetings. And everybody is asking everybody, well, what somebody do to Daoud? Wallahi, why don't Daoud come and say publicly if somebody did something to him? We were here publicly, we never heard that he said that anybody did anything to him unjustly. And everybody knows, mashallah, that he's very articulate and he used a lot of words. I wasn't coerced, I wasn't forced, I wasn't, and on, he used all of those synonyms to make it very clear to the people that nobody forced him to do anything. So why do people keep acting like we forced him out of being the imam, or as some of the people say, I rallied up some of the brothers on the side and overthrew him. Why don't y'all go to the people of Masjid Dirar who tried to rally me up with them to overthrow him and ask what we see? We on this Dawah to Salafiyya and on this Manhaj of the Haq, and we know it's not permissible to overthrow the leadership in Islam. And I was here for a year and a half when Dawood was the imam, and everyone saw me supporting him in every way that he needed to be supported. Everybody saw me here helping in anything that was needed. He knew I was here. Anytime he traveled, I was here. Anytime he needed me to do something, I was here. Any help and whatever, I was here. And nobody saw any open opposition. Rather, the brothers remember that oftentimes if he said something and I had something to say, I mentioned it in Arabic. And then he would say, no, it's okay, you can mention it in English. I said, no, I'm only mentioning it to you in Arabic so that the people don't know what's being said, so that nobody thinks that I'm against you or whatever. Even the people know, when I was teaching on any position I differed with him, I never taught that position in the masjid. Even though I differed, and I'm going to hold what I feel to be the truth, the truth. But that doesn't mean that I have to go everywhere and state every position I believe in. And I tried my best to stay away from every position I felt I differed with him on while he was the imam and I was here helping out the masjid. So really, the people who feel that there's something personal or something was done, every time we come to the people and ask the people, why don't you say something? Nobody has nothing to say. But on the side, for 2 years now, almost, I've been hearing almost everywhere I go, there's something personal. And people keep bringing up this issue that we've wronged him. Wallahi, nobody's wronged anybody, inshallah ta'ala. And if that's the case, why don't someone come show us where we wronged him or where we set these policies of, like, for example, they have a policy, says they have at the masjid, they had a policy not to sell his tapes anymore. And this policy was to prevent the Dawah to Salafiyya from spreading. And we did this behind his back, or whatever was the people are saying that we do. And I'm forgetting some of the statements that the people made. Alhamdulillah. At any rate, I'm appealing to the people now. Tell him to come to the masjid and let everything come out, and that all of the brothers that heard something from him or that they have something to say, let them come to the masjid with him and then present all of this stuff so that it can be dealt with, instead of the people talking about, oh, you causing a fitna in the community by what's between you and Dawood. I don't have nothing personally against nobody, inshallah ta'ala. That this is the issue of the deen. And I'm sad when people make something personal out of something that was the deen. As we were dealing with just recently, and the issue of taking pictures. And somebody told me this was a personal issue, and I felt you should have pulled me to the side and dealt with it personally. This issue of pictures is not no personal issue. Wallahi, we was kufar carrying pictures around in our wallets, taking pictures, giving out your pictures, happy if your picture was in the newspaper. Ain't nobody got nothing personal against no picture. Except that when we came to the deen of al-Islam and we learned the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the one who made it clear to us that the picture maker will have the most severest punishment or Yom Al-Qiyamah. How that's personal if somebody's taking a picture and we tell them don't take those pictures? What's personal between me and him when I tell him don't take the picture? Nothing's personal for somebody to make this a personal issue, and the people keep making the issue personal. Why don't the people make it personal if somebody says, I don't like the shoes you got on? All right, that's personal. I don't like the way the brother dressed. All right, that's personal. I don't like the way the brother carry himself. That's personal. I mean, all the things that's personal, we know what's personal. And the issue of the deen, we know it's the issue of the deen. Why do everybody keep making something personal when it's the issue of the deen instead of leaving it the issue of the deen and saying that it's not personal? I don't have anything, inshallah, personal against Dawud Adib or the other brothers. This is an issue of the deen, and if somebody has something, we hope that the brothers, inshallah, bring him and come forth with it. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
I just want to have some permission about that, because as soon as when the class was beginning, on one of the classes, you know, also asked Dawud Adib, he would teach them the classes.
No. JazakAllah khair. The brother is just reminding that even in one of the classes I had, after I began, I waited about 1 month after I became the imam before I taught the classes. Really, it comes up to like 2 months, because as soon as I became the imam, I made the hajj. Then after the hajj, when we came back, we waited for about a month to give all of the shuyukh a chance to decide what topics they want and what days they want and what time of the days that they want before I chose my schedule. And then when they didn't come forth, then I just continued with the classes. And even at that time, they were invited. So really, if somebody says that there's something personal, then I'm just amazed at those people. And I think that it's real unfair when things were already made clear publicly that people still have something in their chest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Assalamu alaikum.